Athens, Part 1, by Alex Berger. The ferry sucked. It smelled bad. I got 1 hour of sleep and was thrilled to get off when we pulled in the port, about 15 minutes before dawn. I could go on for a number of lines, but for the sanity of all involved, we disembarked, looked at our guidebook, and then set out into the pre-dawn gloom. When you arrive in Athens by boat, you actually land at the port city of Piraeus, which is a 15 or so minute metro ride outside of the city. To that end, our first objective was to find the metro stop. Unfortunately, we misread our location on the map, failed to ask for directions, and walked for about 15 minutes in the wrong direction, through some incredibly shady, desolate areas around the docks before turning around and getting pointed in the right direction. Marginally surprised that we hadn't gotten mugged, we pushed on to the metro, following several sets of confusing and poorly given directions, before eventually stumbling upon it. We scratched our heads, figured out how to buy our one-way tickets, and jumped on a tram, hoping it was going the right way. Whomever was in charge of making the city tourist-friendly failed fairly badly. Parts are decent, but most of it is a confusing, poorly marked disaster. We eventually found our way to the hostel, checked in, and quickly collapsed into a long nap. When we eventually woke up and dragged ourselves out of bed, it was almost noon. We introduced ourselves to our new roommates, an American couple from Colorado, then set out to explore the town. Eager to take things easy, we spent several hours wandering aimlessly and taking in the sights. We found a few bookstores and restocked on reading material for downtime during our stay and in preparation for our flights back to the States. We scrounged up some food, then headed back for another nap and a wash. When we finally awoke, we ate a nice dinner, then made our way to a nearby hostel which dominates the traveler scene in the city and has a cheaply priced bar. We grabbed a few drinks, met some people, and then eventually headed out at 11:30 when the bar closed, with a large group of Filipinos and one of the off-duty barmen to an Irish pub. Later, we hit a nightclub where, in typical form, with the help of a few of the Filipino girls, we took the dance floor and got the club on its feet. We danced until 2. As we were resting, one of the bartenders told us that if we were not going to order a drink from him right at that moment, that we couldn't sit at the bar stools. Pissed off, we left him a 2-cent tip and left. We were effectively responsible for the dance floor being busy and probably most of the business that had stayed as a result. Shrug. We wandered around a bit exploring the packed, groungy bar scene before eventually making our way back to the hostel in a semi-controlled, semi-lost sort of meander. As I reflect on it, it's pretty surprising that the only conflict we had was the one incident in Naples. The shady streets with steel storefronts pulled down, covered in grit and graffiti, were definitely a bit intimidating in places. Areas that just seem made for trouble. Perhaps it's lucky, or perhaps it's presence. Who knows? The next morning, we woke up and decided to dedicate the day to the archaeological museum. After catching the metro, we wandered around the area before eventually making our way into the museum, which unfortunately closed at 3. We managed to get there by noon and dedicated the next 3 hours to exploring the statues, frescoes, artifacts, and vases from ancient Greece. It's truly an incredible experience. In Europe, there are two museums that you need to see. Once you've seen those, the rest are icing on the cake, but more local flavor than necessity. The British Museum is one, mainly because they've stolen everything important from everywhere else, and the Athens Museum, mostly because they got almost all of it back from the British. The artwork is incredible. The famous pieces, Athena, Poseidon, Pan, and Artemis, Agamemnon's mask, etc., were all captivating. I think my favorite is without a doubt the statue of Artemis and Pan, though. It's so hard to pick a favorite. The level of detail, animation, and the beauty that comes through in most of the Greek statuary and art is incredible. It's a shame it would harm the artwork to touch it, as I've always found that things like statuary seem to be better appreciated when explored with multiple senses. It brings out the real life in them and perhaps anchors the experience, making it seem more real. Instead of a surreal moment looking at what your mind tells you, just like another photograph. In addition to the famous pieces, several that really stood out were the slightly less common. Beautiful bird and dragon-esque heads made out of bronze and oxidized to a blue-green. A 3 to 4 foot tall vase with a gorgeous Greek war helmet in black relief with a tan background. A set of beautiful daggers, and a remarkable near-black bronze face. The heads had initially been placed on some sort of larger container. Their falco-dragon-esque features were somewhat square with curved beaks and heavy eyebrows. The image is one that captivated me, and I think I'll look in the tweaking and using it at a later date for some sort of emblem or project. Perhaps as a logo for my various projects or personal website. Hard to say. The vase, wrong name perhaps, was a larger version of how I always picture Greek vases. Slightly wider in the middle, it was black except for the tan area surrounding the side view of an intricately detailed, artistically plumed war helmet. The daggers were stunning. There were three with blades that had turned into gnarly, rusted-out blue pieces of metal, but the inlaid engraving on the blades was still visible. Unlike the rest of the blades, it had not rusted, so I presume it was silver. The imagery of the blades depicted lions battling, sea animals, and soldiers. The style was intricate with a realistic leaning. It romanticized the animals, portraying them slightly blockier than life, which ended up being profoundly flattering. There was also an amazing jade dagger on display. The tip of the blade was gone, however the lower half of the blade and the hilt were still intact. The thin, deep green jade blade was fascinating and perfectly accented by the gorgeous pommel. The face was interesting. It was about the size of a soccer ball with a gnarly beard that flowed into wild and slightly curly hair. The face was that of an old man and may have been Zeus or Poseidon. In addition to a powerful example of bronze statuary, it made all that much more impressive by the eyes. On the dark metal, the eyes were inlaid in ivory with jet black pupils, creating a piercing, penetrating gaze that not only followed you, but felt almost alive. It was amazing. Deep, white orbs that sucked you in and transported you back thousands of years to a different time and place. With tired feet, exhausted eyes, and a sore back, I eventually met Lander outside of the museum. And from there, we wandered and explored for another hour or two before finding a cheap internet cafe to get caught up. After a mandatory nap, we set out again and met up with some randoms, as well as a few of the girls we'd met the night before. We had a quiet evening at the hostel bar and a small lounge down the street, dodging the rain as long as possible. That brings me to today. It's been a beautiful one. After last night's rain, we have to expect the day to be an oppressive, a cloudy mess. When we first woke up a bit after 8, it was. Not in the mood to fight the weather, we went back to bed, and as it worked out, by 10, when we checked again, the rain was gone, and quickly replaced by a cloudless blue sky. We had heard a rumor that all the museums were free, so eager to take advantage of the reduced free admissions, we set off to the Acropolis. Before long, we found ourselves passing by the amphitheater and winding our way up a slippery marble path towards the Acropolis. After a few minutes' walk through old olive trees whose bases were surrounded by thick sheets of dark green clovers and grass, we reached the Acropolis, walked in unimpeded, and began to explore. Unfortunately, most of the Parthenon was surrounded by a latticework of pipes and scaffolding. They do renovation, which replaces old structural improvements with modern marble instead of iron bars. If not for the well-preserved temples we had seen in Paestum, Italy, of all places, we would have been a bit disappointed. Because of the rain, there was almost no smog, and we were presented with a beautiful 360-degree view of the city as it sprawls out and away in every direction. From the mountains to the port, we could see it all. While the Parthenon was covered in scaffolding, the other main structure, the Erechtheum, I think, the one with the female caryatids, was in beautiful shape. It was the highlight of the trip up to the Acropolis. The figures were stunning, the backdrop gorgeous, and the buildings they're attached to was also really impressive. As we walked around it, several of the old windows framed the sky and cityscape in the valley around us. After taking in the Acropolis, we made our way down into the ruins in the large park around the base of the mountain. There we found a small museum and a long reconstructed forum-like building, as well as a small temple building in near immaculate shape. As we wandered through the area, we also paused briefly at a tiny ancient church built in the classic style. Though scarcely the size of a house, it was beautiful and sandwiched between a palm tree and an olive tree. After stopping for a photo, we continued our wandering through the ruins and eventually made our way down into the flea market. We had waited to explore the market, hoping to maximize the experience. While the daily flea market area is massive, on Sundays it overflows on the nearby streets and is supplemented by anyone and everyone with a blanket and something to sell. Where the regular vendors tend to be overpriced and a bit organized, the Sunday warriors are vastly different. Most have a sheet with random things literally dumped out of boxes in the mounds. From pounds of old notes, coins, and phone cards to beautiful old watches, jewelry, and clothing, We even saw old motherboards piled in one spot. It's a boiling mass of humanity and chock full of incredible things. As we walked along exploring, I found several items I'd been looking for. Two of which I was able to purchase for 10 and 15 euros, respectively, and which I later price-checked very similar objects at more established vendors for 75 and 150 euros each. We explored, saw tons of wonderful things, and found a few more small items before grabbing lunch. Making our way back to the hostel for a nap, pausing to spend a euro on a bag full of beautifully ripened tangerines that came apart in our hands as we peeled them. Back at the hostel, we nap briefly before heading down to the internet cafe where I'm writing this email. From here, we will hit up the hostel bar again and see where the night takes us. Time to continue the adventure. Until tomorrow. This has been a blog post on virtualwayfarer.com. Thank you.